You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Welcome back once again, wrestling fans. This is Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary. I am your co-host, the lifelong wrestling fan, your face, your white meat, baby face, Asian guy from the Samoan Islands, Aljon. Hello. I'm not really Samoan, and I'm not really a white meat baby face, but I am here with the heel commentator, the man with the glove of injustice, your wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you doing, sir?
Lifelong Dr. Death Steve Williams, Mark.
I like it.
Everyone should know that about me.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure our fans do too. Once again, we've got a great week of wrestling news and commentary for you, brought to you a few days late, but nonetheless, we are making our best effort to give you the best podcast ever, and this audio-only show is because we care about you, and because we care about you, I figure you should care about us. If you're shopping, feel free to check out our website at ProWrestlingCast.com. Click on our Amazon links. There you can support the show, buy stuff like the brand new series of WWE figures or replica belts from Mattel. And the other link that you can check out as well would be Pro Wrestling Cast's High Spots link. There you can click on the banner, and from there you can purchase great shoot videos, apparel, and so much more. Steven, we have got to do a show about the shoot videos. We got to do like an added show. I feel like we really need to do that.
I do too. I feel like the shoot interviews that have been running over the last 10 to 15 years that I've seen, that's really given me more knowledge than anything about the wrestling industry, because there's so much on there that you don't really hear about, you know, when you read an internet dirt sheet and things like that. It's really guys just talking about their own stuff. I mean, you know, wrestlers are workers, but at the same time, they like to be interviewed and they love to tell stories about each other, you know. So I learned so much from shoot interviews, and that's why a place like High Spots and all those guys, RF Video, Kayfabe Commentaries, are also great. You know, that's really the one thing I spend the most money on are shoot videos, because they're so hard to find, and you can't really find them on YouTube unless it's a small clip.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can get the ones from RF and ShootTube and just so many other ones out there on High Spot. So please let them know you care about us, be our friend, and support the show by using the High Spots link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Not to be outdone, once again, big ass show for you this week in the live and uncensored show. Audio only show, because we broke the internet. Speaking of breaking the internet, so did Stone Cold Steve Austin and his shoot video that he did, the shoot webcast that he did for WWE Network with Mr. Paul E. Dangerously, Mr. Paul Heyman himself. We're going to break down that video as well as some of the thoughts on Raw. We've got the Wednesday night whimper wars, as it were.
Whispers in the wind.
Yes, that's right. It's a new gimmick move from Jeff Hardy, of course. And we'll also pay tribute to a fallen superstar as well for our, I guess, it's going to be our match of the week, which is great. A classic match. Let's go ahead and shoot from the hip in regards to this week's news.
This week in wrestling news.
And this week, big news, headlines being made by WWE Network and one Stone Cold Steve Austin and the podcast with Paul Heyman. This was an amazing piece of business, and I can't tell you, the internet just about exploded. the night that it was all said and done. The last few minutes were just amazing, which happens to be our promo of the week, coming from Stone Cold Steve Austin from this week's Stone Cold podcast. Steve, what did you think about that piece of business there?
The last few minutes blew me away because, first of all, I thought that's really strange he's asking him that question, because in my mind, there's no way Stone Cold Steve Austin would ever do a match again. You know, it's been several years now since he did anything in the ring whatsoever. And I was really genuinely almost worked at a point, because I thought, oh my God, is he really angry at Paul for asking the question? And then of course I thought, wait a second, they wouldn't allow him to do that. This is a set. Right. Like, I was like, oh my God, you shouldn't have said that.
Right.
He says, I'd probably fight Brock, but it'd have to be the right situation. And you know, the guy's like a machine with all his suplexes, which, by the way, if Brock Lesnar did a bunch of suplexes to Steve Austin, it would be a tragic, tragic situation. You know, and that's kind of the reality of that. You know, I don't want to see Steve Austin in a competitive match like we saw at WrestleMania. He wouldn't make it through that for more than 5 or 10 minutes.
No.
But one thing he could do, is a Texas death match, which he brought up. Steve Austin is a huge Bruiser Brody mark. As a matter of fact,
who isn't? Who isn't a Bruiser Brody mark? If you're not a Bruiser Brody mark, good Lord, I can't even speak here. But if you're not a Bruiser Brody mark, you really need to go back and do your due diligence, because Bruiser Brody is one of the greats.
There's an incredible Bruiser Brody shoot that I don't know how people got this footage. It's like a Dallas TV station talking to him, and he was talking about producing the show and all this crazy stuff. It's this amazing shoot interview. Try to seek it out on YouTube. But anyway, what he was famous for was the Texas Death Match. He did it with Abdullah the Butcher. I mean, these matches are unbelievable. There's so much freaking blood. And I'm thinking that that's the only thing Steve Austin could probably pull off.
Right.
I don't think he can do a competitive matchup. Now, Jim Ross said there's about a 1 in 3 chance that he would actually do the match. I just don't know if that's possible. What do you think?
No, there's no way he could do it. At this point in the game, you know, the reason why he did retire was the fact that his neck is so screwed up. You know,
completely fucked.
Yeah, a lot of it stemming from the whole Owen Hart, pile driver situation that had happened, where
that was brutal.
Yeah, just compounded by years and years of taking bumps. I mean, he's got his spinal cord is literally fused in two different places, from my understanding. I mean, the guy is awesome, one of the best in the business, and quite possibly the biggest superstar to ever have drawn money. You know that Stone Cold Steve Austin draws money. He still draws ratings as a testament to his personality and his his overall work. You know, inside and outside the ring, he is a commodity, a huge commodity for CMT, WWE Network, and people tune in for that stuff. I mean, for the IWC, by the way, once again, I told you so, that said that there was some heat. Yeah, there wasn't any real heat, you know, in recent weeks.
For what, a week?
There was basically trademark issues with his t-shirts being at, being there over there at what, a 1 hour tease or pro wrestling tease or whatnot, that they had gotten over in a matter of, you know, of a few days. But other than that, there's no heat. Everybody knows that Stone Cold Steve Austin equals ratings. And when you look at the card that they need to fill, that entire stadium over there in Dallas for the next WrestleMania, they have got to work some freaking wonders. You know,
yep.
They've got to be sure that they can fill the stadium. And what better superstar to do that would be Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he's not going to come back unless he feels that he can be competitive and put on a good show. And I believe that he's been teasing now for a long time, you know, in very, very small references in his podcast, the fact that he is wanting to come back and wanting to compete at WrestleMania. And because of the whole Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman angle that they just did, and you'll hear at the end of this program, that it's pretty much set in stone. I mean, I feel really good about it.
I don't know if it's set in stone now, John. I I tend to think that there's a chance at it, but hell, why the hell would you cut a promo like that? And by the way, that promo just blew me away. Immediately I thought back, this is why ratings doubled from 1997 to 98. This guy is so great, you know, and he really is that character in a lot of ways. That's why there was heat over some of the things that had happened. You know, he doesn't take things lightly. He talked about the stunner John Cena uses, and he's like, well, if you're going to use my finisher, at least make it a finisher, you know. And he's a tough guy to deal with business-wise, you know.
Well, it makes complete sense. I mean, you're protecting the gimmick, you know, you're protecting the character. Well, yeah. And but why wouldn't you? You know, let's start with a couple of things that Stone Cold said during the show.
Sure.
Okay. He said, like you had said, moves matter. And if you're going to sell a DDT, make sure the DDT matters. It's not, it shouldn't. He says it's been, you know, a lot of people say it's been, transformed into a transitional move, if you will.
Right.
Now, the fact of the matter is, it shouldn't be. I don't believe it should be. I believe that, yes, you know, I understand that Freddie Blassie used to do a suplex for a finisher. Okay. I understand that.
Or Harley.
And I understand, or Harley Race, rather. And right. that, you know, some other guys had used basic moves, superplex. And which is not a basic move, or an elbow off the top rope, like Macho Man Savage, and now they're just using it just for high spots, just for the oh shit factor. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, they should be protected, and they won't be protected until someone gives them in back says that it should be protected, and they can simply do that. Paul Heyman did a great dissertation as to how it can be protected once again, and it can. You know, and so, and I believe it can too. And yes, the springboard stunner, don't just simply use it as a transitionary move into the five moves of doom. Just simply make it effective. And if it's not effective, then don't use it. And I don't blame Stone Cold for being a little pissed off about that move and getting hot about the use of that move.
That's them fucking with him. You know, they do little petty stuff, and sometimes it's big stuff like firing Jim Ross on the air. Right. But they do petty stuff sometimes just to pick at people because they're bullies sometimes to a degree in the way they treat the wrestlers. But that's okay. Steve Austin's a strong guy. Getting back to the match itself, I personally would rather not see the match. I would rather see Lesnar in a competitive match. I'd love to see Steve Austin do a brawl. That sounds fantastic. Brock Lesnar is on a string of incredible matches. But then again, promoted right, this plus Rock versus Triple H. You know, Hulk Hogan's trying to get, I don't know if he'll clear a physical. I mean, that doesn't sound like he could, but you know, maybe Daniel Bryan will come back and fight someone like Shawn Michaels. And geez, you got so many. You got Cena. You got Owens coming up now. They're really starting to look like they might put together the biggest card of all time. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that man, Vince McMahon, that is, he wants that 100,000 people. He wants to at least break the gimmicked record. You know, which is, what is it, 80, whatever they say the record is. I think they say it's
Pontiac 93. Silverdome.
They say it's 93. It's supposed to be about 78. And they actually beat it, I think, at Wembley Stadium with 80.
Right.
But he would love to do 95 or something like that for real. Even if he doesn't get 100, just to break that number, man, and he'll do anything he can. You might see tickets for $5 at the last day, but he will break that damn record, and he will figure out a way to put the best card in. Lesnar versus Austin, quite frankly, is the best match. I mean, look how it got built up. I don't know if people out there remember how this all started, but it was a King of the Ring qualifying match that Austin was supposed to job to Lesnar in 2002. Austin refused to do the job. Supposedly, this was he was dissing the writers around that time, and he had every right to. The show wasn't being written very well, although it was being written a lot better than now at times. And that was supposed to be a little dumb punishment. He walked out on the company, and it was over jobbing to Brock Lesnar, who was quite frankly green as gourd at the time. So this is really coming full circle after 15 years. It was a powerful podcast aside from the promo. The podcast was filled with all sorts of wonderful stories. The Samoan SWAT team had a food fight with the Steiners involving watermelons.
And Sting
was in there throwing some chicken, and It was all, you know, it was a really great tale. It wasn't ECW heavy. I hate how Heyman got connected so heavily to ECW because he's so much more than that. If you watch the documentary on him, and that's another DVD Blu-ray I suggest people check out, it's the Paul Heyman story. It's one of the best they've done. He is an incredibly interesting person, a really great booker. I mean, do you think the Sandman and New Jack are good wrestlers? I mean, after ECW folded, so many of those guys couldn't do anything because Heyman wasn't there to protect them. I mean, Christ, geez, when New Jack came out in South Louisiana, people were going ape shit. In South Louisiana, for a guy from Philly that really couldn't wrestle, I was popping too. He had people on their feet at all times with his booking. He's a magic guy. So kudos to him for a great podcast, and kudos to Austin for taking a chance and doing something like this potentially. Again, I got to point to Jim Ross saying 35% chance. I find that interesting that he said that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why.
35% chance of him actually going to WrestleMania. When it's all out on the line, when the cards are all laid out, and you know, and people are like, you know, this is a shoot, man. You know, Vince, as you said, he is desperate to fill that stadium. I do believe, you know, they wouldn't have picked it if they didn't have something in the works in order to get those butts in the seats. And people are going to hem and haw IWC-wise and say, well, why are we going back to nostalgia acts? Why are we doing this, that, and the other? Hey, listen. Because if the other acts are drawing right now, you would expect to see 4.8, 6.3 ratings every single Monday night. But the fact of the matter is, you're not.
When's the last time we seen that?
No, Monday Night Wars.
I'll give you a hint. It's when Steve Austin was in the main event.
That's right.
That's when they were at a 2.5 rating. They put the belt on him. Next thing you know, they're doing fives and sixes. Steve Austin walks out and now won the job to Lesnar. Zip back down to the threes.
Yep.
That's life. That's reality of wrestling the last 30 years. You got Hulk Hogan, you got The Rock, and you got Steve Austin. John Cena is not in that conversation. He doesn't fill the arenas like them, and he doesn't pop the ratings. I'm not putting him down. He's a tremendous athlete and a great promo, as we saw this past week, one of the best promos I've seen all year. But Steve Austin, besides Hulk Hogan, you really don't get much bigger.
No, I think it's going to be interesting to see down the road what will happen. I think that, once again, Paul Heyman did just an awesome job on the program. And, you know, controversial is all get out, talking about the Samoan SWAT machine and the fact that he can't rent from Thrifty Rent-A-Car or Dollar Rent-A-Car anymore because he totally fucked up that car. The fact that he, you know, in every shoot interview I've ever seen of Paul Heyman, he loves talking about his Jewish heritage, and he does it as you and I were talking before, as we were going over our notes about how he's so self-deprecating and he loves to talk about, you know, being Jewish and all this, and it was very controversial, especially when Stone Cold had said, well, tell me about your people.
Well, you know, I thought that was taking a chance. I did get actually really nervous. I thought, uh-oh, he needs that. It's just the word your people. That never comes across well. But no. they're smart, and they repaired it. They sensed it, and they repaired the moment. So that ended up not being – I kept thinking, God, I hope they didn't get in trouble for that. You got to be careful, Steve-O.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's, you know, this is live and uncensored on the WWE network, and let's face it, you know, Paul was talking about, you know, the entertainment business and how Jewish people have X, Y, and Z, and I've got Jewish friends. I'm sure you've got Jewish friends, and Paul Heyman is just
Tony Sherman.
he's so good, and he did self-correct, and Stone Cold, of course, you know. He, if you listen to his podcast, I believe he really is one of the nicest guys out there in entertainment. I believe he's down to earth. I believe, I believe that he loves his fans. And I think that all signs are pointing to the possibility, and it's looking better every day, of Stone Cold actually coming back and getting a proper send off. Now, if you're booking this match in WrestleMania, who goes over, Brock Lesnar or Stone Cold?
Lesnar. Lesnar and Austin is filled with blood. Mm-hmm. Well, he is filled with blood, but there's blood all over his head at the end of the match.
I'm familiar with the Texas Death Match, but why don't you, for some of our listeners, and I have gotten some feedback regarding this, is why don't you spell out for people what a Texas Death Match is? Because it's as hardcore as you can get.
It's a pretty hardcore match. The best Texas Death Matches I've ever seen were Bruiser Brody and Abdullah the Butcher. I saw those live. They would show it on WCCW. This would have been in the sort of waning days of it. Another incredible death match, Texas death match, was Cactus Jack and Vader. I think it was at Halloween Havoc. That was a brutal match. But I believe they started around the 60s, around the West Texas area. All my favorite wrestlers come from West Texas. The Funks come from there. Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody, Tully Blanchard, Ted DiBiase. All these incredible wrestlers come from there. And I think the Funks kind of had a lot to do with that. And there, you know, and you could call a Texas death match, you know, you could call it a Mexican death match. You could call it anything you want. But basically, it all takes place mostly outside of the ring. Weapons are encouraged. Falls usually count anywhere, or sometimes they don't. But most of all, there's always some blood. So I just wanted to say that, you know, this might be a time to actually, you know, do some blading. It might be the right time for them to blade. Maybe just this one time. And if you want Steve Austin to have a good match, he's going to need to blade. And I don't know if, you know, maybe they can do it hard way, maybe they can't. But Texas Death Match without blood does not compute. Ask Abby the Butcher. He'll let you know. He's done tons of them. Mm-hmm. But they're brutal matches. And just think of, like, it'll all be outside. The fans are very involved. The fans are very close to it. And it'll remind people a lot if they've seen Stone Cold's matches from 98, 99, like the ones he did with Foley, where they kind of went all over the arena. They would be a lot like that. Mm-hmm. So it would be an awesome match. I mean, they'd figure something out. They're bright guys. They can figure out a way around the neck issue.
That is on my bucket list. You know, I want to be there for WrestleMania. Don't know if I'll ever be able to go to a WrestleMania, but it is on my bucket list for sure. And one of the reasons to go would be to see Stone Cold Steve Austin come out of his retirement just to take on the Beast, which is Brock Lesnar. And I couldn't think of a better semi-main or main event, you know, for that. And we can fantasy book the next WrestleMania all we want. You know, I think they're starting to put some pieces into play. And this is just the very first shot into what could potentially be the biggest WrestleMania event or the biggest wrestling event of all time.
Well, they'd be in a real role because the last one was awesome and it didn't even seem like it would be. So what if they did put together this incredible card? What if Hulk Hogan got cleared? What if Lesnar did the Texas Death Match with Austin? What if Rousey showed up in some way or shape or form to beat up Stephanie while Triple H fights Rock? What if Daniel Bryan returns and fights a returning Shawn Michaels? You know, good Lord, who wouldn't pay money to see that?
No, I think in the build would mean so much money for WWE. It really would.
And we're leaving out Sting Undertaker in a double retirement match, potentially. There's so much money in this.
Absolutely. I agree. Once again, what do you think? Let us know via social media at PWrestlingCast on Twitter, ProWrestlingCast on Facebook, or just leave a comment to our YouTube below. It should be amazing. Other WWE news as we move forward. Wow, Tyson Kidd.
Good grief.
Just when you think things are going awesome for this tag team of Cesaro and Kidd and the tag team division heating up in the WWE like it's never been in the past 10 years. Now you have the big injury and the WWE is kind of keeping things on the down low. What's going on with that?
Their new policy, and we should have realized this a month or two ago with Daniel Bryan, their new policy is to not talk about injuries in any way, shape, or form. They don't want anything about injuries leaked. I'm hearing his shoulder's totally fucked up and he needs surgery, and he'll probably be out 2 to 3 months. I think that's a pretty good guess. This is really not a good thing because Kidd and Cesaro have really been on a roll this year. They're more over than ever. They're having better matches than ever. The crowd almost turned them babyface by proxy. They just kind of turned them babyface on their own. Because they're enjoying their matches so much. They're really the best tag team to feud with the New Day, who's a hot team. So this is bad for a lot of reasons. Another reason it's bad is it might make them nervous about Samoa Joe. I don't know if he got hurt on the muscle buster. I mean, again, that's their policy. Don't talk about it. But something we could point out is now, you know, two things happened aside from this or relate to it. Kevin Owens was signed to a WWE contract. He is going on the road and they're pushing this guy in the main roster. Now, that match blew their minds. They were so impressed with that match. At the same time, Rusev got hurt. So that opened up the slot. By opening that slot and the fact that they're supposedly very, very big plans for Finn Balor, who will probably have one of his biggest network debuts in their Tokyo show, which we'll talk about later, they had to go ahead and sign. They felt like Samoa Joe to a real deal. He'll be at NXT more or less taking Owens' spot. And what this means is, you know, that we're going to see a lot of changes in NXT, but also with Samoa Joe. You know, there was this rumor going around that his merch was selling so quick they signed him to a contract. Are you kidding me? He sold some shirts for 7 days and they signed him? That doesn't sound right.
No.
You know, what happened was they heard that he was allowed to work for anyone else. He had a sweet contract. He worked with anybody but TNA, who they hate almost as much as me. And they faced almost,
doubtful.
You know,
doubtful.
It's possible.
Well, okay.
But I was just watching the train sequence again as we were getting prepared.
Well, we're going to talk about that train sequence.
Yes, the train. I'll never forget that one. Just like I'll never forget when Bischoff was attacked by Sting's bird. But to get back to it, they didn't.
He needs
want
to get a bird.
Yeah, something needs to happen. to get back to where we were, Tyson Kidd looks like got hurt in the Samoa Joe match. Samoa Joe, to wrap that up, by the way, he was signed to a deal because they felt like he'd be on Destination America now, you know, on Ring of Honor, which had its light debut, shall we say. So they wanted to wrap it up and say, hey, you can't be in Ring of Honor. Here's a real contract. Come to NXT. So I feel bad for Tyson Kidd. I feel bad for Joe. I hope this doesn't put a stain on it. But it was literally the first freaking move he did in a WWF ring, not an NXT ring. You know, and boom, and the guys are not the first move, but the first finisher he did. And boom, he's hurt. So it's a very unfortunate situation.
It's rough to say the least. But Tyson Kidd, we wish you all the best. And I know that you're going to be back out there wrestling really soon. I cannot wait for it. Either way, it does make for a potential angle down the road. And with Samoa Joe, I believe we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. I know that he's got so much potential. And where
he's in great shape right now.
What's that?
He got in great shape recently, too. So he's taking it seriously, you know?
Yeah, he's looking good. Looking good, man. Looking good. other things, the WWE Raw. Was actually, I thought, a pretty decent show. It had some great highlights, and I will put it to you like this. What made my night in terms of that show was the promo between Owens and Cena. I mean,
wow.
That could easily be promo of the week for me. I know that my wife and I were sitting right there watching it unfold. And I was hinging on every word. A lot of truths were told to a certain point of view. Once again, Kevin Owens' kid was brought up in the promo, talking about how much he sacrificed to get to the WWE. And John Cena calling him out, saying, you know, you should be a real man. And if you were a real man, your son would be doing the hero worship job on you and not on me. And I thought that was just, I mean, and I was, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but I'm thinking to myself, if Stone Cold didn't cut the promo of his life to set the internet and break the internet, this would definitely be promo of the week for me. I was just flabbergasted at the type of work. And that's what makes WWE better than TNA. And my wife said it the best when she was watching TNA with me this week and the whole throw mama from the train angle happened. She goes, these are just horrible actors.
They really are.
Horrible actors. And the worst part is that they've got segment producers at TNA. They have writers. And if this is Billy Corgan's doing, which apparently he's taking credit for this, what a shit show TNA Impact was. But we're going to get to that. I'm going to get to that later.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on Mr. Corgan later that I heard
let's,
on his...
Let's talk about that later. But let's go ahead and, like, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus or anyone under the train, for that matter. You're going to hear a lot of train references today. But WWE Raw was definitely a highlight in that regard. What do you think about this Monday Night Raw?
You take the Owens promo was awesome. I'm like, boy, here's Owens, man. He is on a roll. And his promo is so good. I'm like, man, he's just killing Cena. Cena comes out, says, you're an idiot. And I'm like, oh, boy, here we go with Cena again. And then Cena proceeds to deliver the best promo I've heard from him in years. And then he takes it to the next level. Let me tell you something. When you point to a kid that has cancer and interact with him in the crowd, you've just taken your promo to the next level.
Exactly.
And I was like, good God, this is, you know, I
so
think
good.
He had it said, I'm beating cancer was on this little girl's sign. I'm like, my goodness gracious. And I think she was crying and good grief. And it was like, man, Owens can't even come. I mean, he did a job. He had a promos cut on him for 2 weeks. He did a job. He comes out and he's like, no, I'm taking this all back. And instead of even Steven booking, this is really the way to do it, where the babyface gets beat down a couple of weeks, loses clean, and comes out and cuts one of the best fucking promos you ever heard. This was old school to me, just the way he did it.
Dude, this was okay. We all have an affinity for Dusty Rhodes. Arguably, him, Ric Flair, some of the best talkers in the business.
Yeah, baby.
And I looked at this promo for what it was, and I consider this the John Cena Hard Times promo. This is the John Cena. I mean, no one on the internet is saying it, and I'm saying it right now. This was the promo of his life. This was not cheesy. This was real. This was... Once again, as you said, brilliant, taking that girl who was wearing the John Cena merchandise, standing up, fighting for cancer, right? And my mom died of cancer. You know, I had a lot of people in my family die of cancer, all right?
Me too.
Yeah, right? Everybody can relate to that. And you look at that promo and you go, oh, my God.
This is different.
Yeah, this is different and it's real. It's real. And he means it. Hustle, loyalty, and respect, as he said, is not catchphrase. Don't give up is not a catchphrase. These are mantras that I live by and that I live by every day. So if you want to blame me, if you want to throw stones at me, go ahead. But I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. And I've got belief in myself and these other people believe in me. And that's why I will not quit.
And it was awesome.
Oh.
It was so logical, too, because that is true. Kevin Steen never quit for 15 years in Ring of Honor.
And that's the point. He turned it.
It was real.
Yeah, it was real. And he turned it back on Steen, or Owens, sorry.
Same guy.
He turned it right next to that. He turned it back on the fat bastard, right?
He really did.
Yeah, and that was great. And I like Kevin Steen, Owens. You know, I like Kevin Owens. I think that he's great. He's a great talent. He's got tremendous talent, tremendous on the microphone. You know, but I tell you what, man, it was electric. And that will make Raw one of the most memorable Raws for me just because of that promo. You know, not to mention the fact that it was there were some awesome matches in there, you know, but go ahead.
Well, I will say this about Raw. Roman Reigns... To me, to put him on three times, to have him be so close with Ambrose, I got this funny feeling that they're going to turn Rollins to feud with Triple H at SummerSlam. I really kind of think that'll happen, and Reigns will be the new corporate champion. I really think that's going to happen soon.
I feel that, too. Yep.
He did three matches. They burned the crowd out on him, you know, which is what it is. He had a pretty darn good match with Barrett. It went on for years, it felt like. I think it was about 13 minutes.
Right.
He did a match with Henry, and I'm like, oh, boy, here's Henry. And then he did another match with, and Wyatt, who I was surprised, did a job. But, boy, they
kind of protected. Kind of protected, though.
It was protected, but I don't think the writing team has anything for Wyatt. I think they had the idea of reforming them, then backed out, and now they just, I don't know, they don't seem to know what to do with him all of a sudden. Mm. But Ambrose remains completely fucking over. I'm so proud of how over Ambrose is. I keep saying this every week, but this guy really is like that. He's always kind of acted that way, this kind of guy. And if he just kind of talks like that and he brawls, mm-hmm. he'd be a great guy for a Texas death match.
No, you ain't kidding.
He'd be the best guy in the roster, you know, to do a really long, gory one.
Yeah, if we weren't in the PG era of no blood. Perhaps, yes.
If Jim weren't in the PG era of no blood now, he would be doing some gory stuff out there, Mick Foley style. Not Mick Foley style, but just as bloody, probably. He was supposed to have a feud with Mick Foley, but Mick Foley couldn't clear the physical. That was supposed to happen a couple of years ago. That was supposed to be his debut before the Shield. He reviewed that on the Jericho podcast. That's a great interview with Jericho.
That is great.
With Ambrose. It's really long, and he's a cool guy, but... Again, I just want to give it up for Ambrose. And by the way, the booking of we already reviewed the pay-per-view the night of it after we ate spaghetti, which I never got to thank you so much for the spaghetti and wine, by the way. We both appreciate it.
Outstanding.
It was outstanding. And the funny thing about that finish, though, the Ambrose-Rollins matches, that was the perfect finish to get him even more over. If he would have won the belt and come out, his heat would have kind of dissipated, although people would have been excited. But getting screwed with a dusty finish, his reaction, Rollins' reaction, was absolutely the right thing to do. It may have made for a frustrating end to the pay-per-view, but at the end of the day, it was the correct way to book it, I think. It really, really has Ambrose over really hot right now. And, man, just kudos to him for being so fucking over right now. And kudos for Wade Barrett for losing every single match I think I've seen since he won the King of the Ring. That is an impressive record.
Yeah, it's not his fault. You know, the writers need to get on board and figure out what to do with some of these key players that could draw money for you, like a potential Wade Barrett, but definitely a Bray Wyatt. I mean, if he's going to be the new face of fear, then treat him as such. It's not difficult. He's a monster.
It's easy, actually.
Yeah, it's that hard. You've been doing it with Kane and Undertaker for years. I mean, for Christ's sake, you know, at least, don't try to regurgitate certain angles like TNA.
We're gonna talk
about that. That's all. The Velvet Sky Stone Cold Velvet Sky angle is just, I don't even know what to think about that. I don't know what to think about that. But
yeah, they're terrible.
I tell you, Monday Night Raw was decent. Of course, one of the last things I'm going to mention about Raw, just in passing, is the fact that you know exactly that the Bella Twins are back in heel mode, if you will.
Right.
Because of the twin magic and the whole I'm screwing you now page. And
sure.
So, you know, as you said before, the whole AJ Styles, the whole AJ booking, the whole women's match booking with AJ quitting and Paige having to do the film, all that stuff screwed up their entire plans. And the Naomi thing, I think, was a placeholder. And now that Paige is back, they're trying to get back on track with the Bella Twins continuing to be heels, with Paige continuing to be face. And now that they have another quote-unquote possible heel tag team in Tamina and
what a face.
Yes.
Naomi.
Dear Lord, I said her name earlier. This could possibly mean that we have another face team coming up. And
I got an idea.
I have a few ideas. Yeah.
They're all better than what they've been doing, too. I mean, I cannot get down with what they've done to these girls. It pisses me off.
Yeah.
They should all be pissed off as wrestlers to have to deal with this sort of level of booking when you have the booking they've done for Kevin Owens and Cena, and you have the booking they did for Rusev to get him over and Ambrose to get him over and Rollins and Reigns and Damage Control, and then they give them absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Pure I want shit. To tell you this, though. I want mm-hmm. to say this, though. I've got the Roku player you suggested.
Good.
I bought it, I think, the next day.
Awesome.
So I hook it up, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm just going to watch WWE Network all the time on my TV. This is going to be great.
Yeah, right.
I thought it'd be fun. I watched Invasion, the pay-per-view from 2001.
This is dear, why? Why are you doing that to yourself?
Well, I thought it'd be interesting, and it wasn't a very great pay-per-view, although it wasn't bad. They had some matches, but let me tell you something, pal. Tori Wilson and Stacy Keibler debuted, cut quite possibly the two worst promos I've ever heard, literally talking about how great their breasts and buttocks were. And
which they are. To have
sure. As if that isn't obvious to anyone. But and they proceeded to have a match with Lita and Trish Stratus that was just absolutely abysmal. My point being, the women wrestlers honestly have it a lot better now than they did then.
Yes.
They at least try. And they have been in a bad patch lately. That's what frustrates me. Obviously, NXT books their women wrestlers so good that Sasha Banks is the main event in matches against Charlotte, you know, across these shows that they do across the states now. And that's how, so they really have come a long way. But it's disappointing to see Paige, you know, with a pentagram. Has she got a pentagram on her?
Yes.
Okay, great. That's a good baby face. Was she a witch baby face?
She's a, yeah.
Yeah, that's not gonna work in the long run.
No,
that just won't work in the end of the day. But
I don't understand her new outfit. I said, hey, look, Kristen, there's my wife and I are watching, and it's like she's wearing a pentagram on her chest. That's outstanding.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I said, oh, she got some new regalia, and then I kind of didn't notice. And then on Raw, I was like, that's a fucking pentagram.
She's a Satan worshiper.
Oh, that's a good baby face.
She got her gimmicks from south of the border. So,
well, but that'll be fine because, you know, never mind. I was going to say something bad. I held myself back. Anyway, terrible garbage. Can't wait for the girls to come up.
Right on. Just to kind of wrap up this week in WWE, unless you've got some other news to share, which you may. At the end of SmackDown this week, Kane announced himself as the final participant in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And
wow,
this is how it looks for Money in the Bank that's going to be happening here in just another week or so. God, it's right. Like a pay-per-view every couple of weeks. It's crazy.
Right. They really are.
A WWE title match, Rollins versus Ambrose in a ladder match.
Okay.
U.S. champion John Cena versus Kevin Owens. This is the rubber match, non-title. It's a non-title rubber match.
Probably too soon, but okay.
Yeah. Money in the Bank ladder match for future WWE... world title shot, Reigns, Orton, Ziggler versus tag team champion Kofi Kingston, Neville, Sheamus, and Kane. That should be a spot fest.
That better be a spot fest.
The WWE tag title match, New Day, which is going to be Big E and Xavier Woods versus primetime players, O'Neal and Young, which should be an awesome match.
Yes.
And people are like, well, why isn't Kofi in there? Well, Kofi's in the Money in the Bank ladder match because he's Kofi freaking Kingston. He's going to have
a high... You need him for the big spot.
Yeah, you need him for the big spots. So, and there you go. There hasn't been a announcement regarding the women yet, but I can only assume that it's going to be Brie versus Paige for the WWE Women's Divas Championship.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Again.
Well, they haven't gotten that down yet, so maybe they'll keep trying.
Maybe they will. That is all I have for the WWE this week. Of course, there were some interesting signings for NXT. NXT continues to build really great stuff on that end. But what I wanted to get to, Stephen, is actually TNA this week and the Wednesday Night Whimpers.
Let me point out one thing. They're having a great July 4th WWE show. That'll be yet another pay-per-view type of thing, and they're going to have Lesnar fight Kingston, and that should be the show where Finn Balor most likely wins the belt from Kevin Owens. But that looks to be like a really fun show. Prince Devitt was Finn Balor's old name in Japan, and he absolutely fucking tore it up in Japan. And I bet it's one of the best matches we'll see of the year. And it'll be fun to see Lesnar. And anyway, I just wanted to point out that I'm really pumped for the card. And I believe your boy Y2J will fight Neville, which I'm actually looking forward to.
So let me get this right, and I'm glad you brought this up. They are televising a network exclusive from Tokyo, and this is going to be a house show. Correct?
Right. Yeah, on July 4th. And, you know, Brock Lesnar is close with Mr. Saito, and he's in poor health, or he has been close with him. He's wrestled for him before in Japan, and he wanted to go visit. This was a good opportunity to go there, and I'm sure he will decimate Kofi Kingston. in a little house show match. And that's basically how Lesnar ended up there. Then they had the situation where they had the belt off of Owens. So they thought, okay, well, let's put together a card. And you know what? When they put together these little cards real quick, they come out with some pretty fun shows sometimes. So,
yeah.
But beware the Japanese crowd. They don't play. You know, bring your A game, or they're not gonna get into you. They love stars over there. But if you come in with some bad wrestling, they're not gonna boo. They're not gonna cheer. They're not gonna do much. So, you know, I expect the guys to do it. Chris Jericho, by the way, was great. You know, in Mexico and Japan, he had a great match with Ultimo Dragon and Ultimo Dragon, I should say, and a lot of other guys. He even wrestled in the Gross FMW promotion with Lance Storm, and I'm sure he'll do great over there. So, man, I'm pumped for the Japan show. That's just wanted to slip that in.
No, that's great. I'm glad you did. I totally had forgotten about that point, but thank you for that. And hey, hopefully, you and I can do like an aftermatch show and figure out what's going down. I mean, that's amazing stuff right there.
Hey, will Operation Dumbo Drop get put over by Jericho?
It's a possibility, yes. I mean,
he's a nice guy, you know.
What, Neville or Jericho?
Oh, I don't know anything about Neville other than he has huge Dumbo ears.
The Dumbo Drop continues. Hashtag that. Yeah, Jericho's a great dude. And, one of these days I hope to meet up with him and talk about music and talk about his show. And he's one of my favorites of all time. I mean,
he's intense. He's awesome. Yeah,
he's great. What a great personality. Moving forward. Please. Wednesday night whimpers. JR was very adamant about using the term Wednesday Night Wars, because there's, you know, a different, you know, they're not two brands going head to head per se. It's a different kind of feel. But of course, yeah, it is a pun and it is a play off the Monday Night Wars. The fact that Destination America is home to two great wrestling promotions, semi-great or what? Debatable. Ring of Honor and TNA had their debut Wednesday night this past Wednesday. Was it debut or was it last Wednesday? It was last Wednesday.
It was the debut of both, actually, on the same night. And they didn't promote either. They promoted the TNA move, and they didn't even promote Ring of Honor whatsoever. So I don't know what to read into it. The ratings were very low. Yeah. Ring of Honor only did about 160,000, but they basically just promoted it on their Twitter, and the show already showed on Saturday. I mean, I see it on, it's the same channel around here that plays SMW or Saw. I'm not SMW, Saw.
Right.
It's like a local.
Yeah, the Southern All-Star Wrestling. Yeah.
And even though it was a New Japan oriented show, it really wasn't a blowaway show. The show that'll blow us all away again is on the 24th to see Nakamura, AJ Styles, and all those guys. That the show on the 24th will be awesome. I guarantee that. TNA did 297,000 for their 2-hour show from, I guess, what it'd be 8 to 10 or 9 to 11, whichever time zone you're in. That's the lowest number they've done. I think there was one other time it was lower, but it was a special reason. So maybe people didn't know they moved. Maybe people are getting more and more tired of the show, but the viewership has dropped yet again. Ring of Honor did 110,000 on their replay that was bookended, and TNA had a replay at midnight that did about 70,000. So if you add up overall viewership, if you're asking about the Wednesday night whimpers of Whispers in the Wind, I would say that Ring of Honor is a technical victor because of the Sinclair show, because you have to add those numbers to this. But really, you're not seeing a whole lot of people watching either show right now. So to say who's second or third promotion or third or fourth promotion at this point, you know, I've got to give that to Lucha Underground, because their show is just better. It's more interesting. And not a very impressive first week for me. We had a very, very stupid angle where Mickie James was, I don't even know what it was supposed to be. Was she supposed to be thrown off of a train deck? What happened? What happened to Mickie James? Was she thrown off of a train deck?
No, okay. So
I just watched it. I can't figure it out.
It was James Storm basically booty mugged her and nudged her off the platform.
Okay.
And there was an oncoming train.
So she's dead.
No, she's not. Apparently, what was it? According to reports, she has concussion-like symptoms.
From the train?
From the fall. Who knows?
I
think it was supposed to be implied that a train was coming, but the train did not run her over.
Yeah. Well, trains are late sometimes. I know that. But anyway, this was a dumb, I'm being funny, but this was silly. And, you know, she was tweeting about her upcoming tour dates. And I mean, you know, she's a musician, you know.
So it's her kayfabe.
Yeah, she's cut, you know, I mean, she's cut some stuff here in Nashville and she does shows. So, I mean, it was kind of, yeah. I mean, why do an angle like that? Do you think this is Billy Corgan or are we placing blame on him for no reason?
No, we're placing blame on him because apparently the time is now. According to, once again, to the official press release, if you look back on the Pro Wrestling Cast from several weeks ago where we had Josh Matthews doing the interview, he says, effective immediately, head of creative is Billy Corgan.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's a bullshit show. Now, let me tell you what I like. Let me tell you what I did like from TNA from this past year. Now, what could have turned a lot of people off is seeing EC3's music being sung by Barbershop Quartet, or Quintet, as it were.
Now, I believe that did help.
Now, I can tell you that I popped for it because, you know, he was basically doing a Jimmy Fallon type of thing, and I know what they were going for. The Kurt Angle promo, I understand that, but you and I have talked about not being down with Rockstar Spud.
Nope.
But I can tell you that Spud cut his promo of a lifetime during the opening of that segment. And I thought it was great. I thought it was an awesome promo. And the fact that Austin Aries came in and added the drama now for the number one contendership, which I do like the fact that, you know, Impact does incorporate their top five. Their number one contenders are clearly marked. People know who should be on top. And I do appreciate that about TNA and Impact.
Yes.
I do appreciate the fact that, you know, Kurt Angle is always believable and he does a great job. Austin Aries, same thing. Really like his mic work. Austin Aries, to me, always believable as a solo or in a tag team. Okay. Rockstar Spud cutting the promo of his life, and I believed it. I thought it was great. I didn't feel like it was forced. EC3 continues to do some great work. What I did not like is Mickie James and James Storm, two arguably one of their best workers, in a shit angle, throw mama from the train. First of all, who uses the fucking train? Okay.
Yeah, who's the last time you took a train?
Yeah, who uses the fucking train?
5,000 miles a week.
Then, what is up with James Storm? Is he trying to propose to Mickie James to get him away from Magnus? You know, what's going on? Then he's saying, oh, okay, well, I want you to join the Revolution. Shitty faction. Yeah, why? And then to escort her out to the car, they're not even escorted to her car. They're going out to the fucking train, the train station, the outdoor train station. And then he basically pushes her off the platform.
Okay, I mean, got it.
This is the shittiest angle I've seen since AJ Styles slept with that crack whore, you know?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That was terrible.
Yeah, that Lynch girl, not to be confused with Becky Lynch. Is it Becky Lynch? Was it Becky Lynch? I don't remember.
Who knows? AJ Styles wouldn't sleep with a crack whore. He's a good old boy from Georgia that watches the Georgia Bulldogs and goes church.
Exactly.
Sleep with a crack whore.
Well, and there you have it.
And by the way, and I'm glad you admired Rockstar Spud's promo and thought it was so good. And I can really understand that. I think he has a lot of ability with his promos, and in-ring work definitely is good. But I just have to say this, and forgive me for saying it, but if you wear a bow tie in the ring, I will not like you.
Right.
That's just it. And that's me. Okay.
It's hard to take you seriously.
And he weighs 110 pounds and I don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, it's hard to take you serious when you have that get up in the ring. I mean, I like Rockstar Spud. I understand that's his gimmick of the suits and the bow tie and all that, you know, but if you're going to change and you're going to try to be, you know, taken seriously, I can't take you serious in that outfit. And my wife is watching it going, are you serious? I mean, what the hell is this kid wearing?
Exactly.
How am I supposed to take him seriously? I look at Kurt Angle, Olympian, gold medal winner, badass, I kick ass, plain and simple. And then you look at Rockstar Spud and you're like, is he a valet? What the hell? You know,
he looks
if you
like,
dress like a valet, people will treat you like a valet. Okay.
He looks like a men's escort. I mean, that's what he's dressed like.
Well, at first I thought that's what his whole gimmick was supposed to be, you know, so.
You know, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with him being an escort for men or anything like that. I'm not dissing. I guess I don't understand. You know, I guess I don't get it. I just don't get it. But if I can't relate to it and I watch wrestling all fucking week, you know, how's a casual person going to?
I don't know if people are going to turn this podcast off because we're talking about TNA, but I will say this. The next segment.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. I mean, we're already down 100,000 followers already, you know, just from talking about TNA. Well, I'm going to put this other segment over Velvet Sky. I love Velvet Sky. I think she's great. I think her new look, she is fine. She is great. I really dig it. What I don't dig is the dollhouse. I mean, stupid. Taryn is just, those two new girls are holding her back. I think that whole gimmick is horrible. And what I don't understand about Velvet Sky in the women's division is the fact that they are trying to recreate Stone Cold Steve Austin with Velvet Sky, who is coming out wearing a Misfits, you know, jean jacket and the, got the chains and Angela Love is supposed to be like Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon trying to, we can do this the hard way or my way or whatever the case it is. And I'm like, really, Billy, this is you. You're the head of creative and you are regurgitating WWE circa 1996.
Yeah. And they use doll parts by Hole as their entrance.
Now that's,
and,
you know, the worst,
that's very Billy.
The worst thing ever.
Song you can use for a wrestler. I mean, it's a fine song, but you can't, it's not really a fine song.
Not for
but
them. If they're supposed to be the Mean Girls, the Mean Girls aren't, you know, coked out on heroin. You know what I mean? You have like the blah blah Courtney Love Hole song and doll parts for a faction called the Dollhouse, where they dress like neon and use the whole, you know, jawbreaker, you know, basically another movie that came out years ago. Okay. And you're trying to put them over as a heel faction. And that is totally, those two things don't go together at all.
Well, at least they weren't murdered.
Yeah. At least they weren't booty mugged off a train platform. Right.
Absolutely. And by the way, she'll be at the Rutledge this Sunday.
Okay. Awesome.
Actually, she won't, but not the confusing one, but geez, the concert dates? Show dates after the murder. I don't know.
I know. Well, that is basically all for TNA that I've got. I know that they've got their pay-per-view that's coming up here in a couple of weeks. Should be interesting. Or next week, not a pay-per-view. It's just another event, another Wednesday night show.
They're brutal. I don't know.
It's Destination X on Destination America next coming Wednesday. It still should be a really good show. I'm going to check it out. I hope you support TNA in some respect just because of the boys that are working. But by God, Billy Corgan, if this is your creative effort, this is really shit. It really is shit. I don't know who's in charge of it, but if you're going to be head of creative and Dixie, I want to love your company. I really do. But a shit angle like that with two great workers like Mickey James and James Storm, that's bullshit. That's a bullshit angle.
Let me bury them a little bit more. I was listening to the Jericho podcast with Billy Corgan, and to be honest, I didn't want to listen to it, but I had a long drive. I put on the podcast. Have you heard this? This guy is so fucking obnoxious. I'm sorry I'm cursing so much, everybody, today, but he is so obnoxious. He is talking like he's some sort of genius, and you know, and has all the, it's very Russo-like the way it felt. I'm going to change things. Things are going to be different. You have to look at it from a different way. I did all these things in Resistance that were so whatever. AMC said it was the best. AMC was going to put out on a reality show for wrestlers. And he goes, I don't know why the wrestlers, they were kept trying to do all this stuff to where they, you know, trying to get over with the crowd. And I told him, no, don't do that to try to get over with the crowd. This is like a reality show. you know, this stuff is, I just think he came across so incredibly arrogant. You know, Chris Jericho is a musician. He does very basic heavy metal. I'm quite frankly not a fan of Chris Jericho's music, but you know what? He does albums, he goes on tour, and it's fun for him. And then he does four-star matches on pay-per-view sometimes. Billy Corgan was in a seminal band, similar like to Jericho. He had a tremendous amount of success in the 90s, mostly, with a band that broke up for the most part. And now he's going to come into, so he shouldn't come into wrestling like, hey, I'm gonna rework the wheel. I'm gonna whatever you call that, make the wheel
reinvent
again.
Reinvent the wheel
is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to recook the wheel. But you know, I was flabbergasted by his interview. I just thought he came across as a complete and utter jack off, and I really mean that. You know. Chris Jericho is a real pro to stick in there and not just tell him, hey, you're complete. You know, he was very nice about it, and he just kind of let him keep talking and talking. You know, he was a lot nicer than I would have been. But, you know, all this talk about, you know, wrestling's really simple. You have heels and baby faces. You have people, you put on a show, and people pay admission to go to the show. It's really simple. It's not about reality TV. If you want to change wrestling, you know, I don't think that's really how it works. Wrestling is wrestling. You know, you cannot call it wrestling like Vince does, not say wrestlers and call it entertainment. It's John Cena's a good guy. Kevin Owens is a bad guy. We got 15,000 in here tonight. It's $28 a ticket or $50 a ticket or $78 or $100 a ticket. That's what wrestling is. It's not about a TV show. They've gotten so off course with this whole we're just a TV thing. And now here's a guy that comes in, probably charmed Dixie, and has gotten in there. And it's just the same repetitive bullshit from them from the same the last 5 to 10 years. I'm praying to see Eric Bischoff beg off of a bird. I'm praying for that to happen because at least that was funny. At least that was stupid and funny to me.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. I hate him.
I like Billy Corgan as a musician. I really dig his music. I'm a fan of the Smashing Pumpkins, you know, and I have yet to listen to the Jericho show. So, and I will. I've been catching up. I'll be honest, my days have been catching up with Taz. By the way, my new favorite podcast is the Taz podcast.
I haven't heard that one yet.
It's so good. The Taz Human Podcast Machine. I'm putting Taz over. I love his podcast. It is really, really insightful. I think Taz is one of the most underrated commentators, going around. I feel it's a shame the fact that he's not working right now because he's so entertaining. And and I think that in lieu of having a Byron Saxton, Brian Sexcastle, if you will.
Brian Sexcastle.
Do it. I think Taz would be a great commentator to add to SmackDown when SmackDown moves back to the USA Network come this fall.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Yeah, just to have a veteran, you know, show person. And Taz, I don't know if he'll ever want to come back to work for WWE. I know they're on very friendly terms, but I'm going to put over Taz. He is my new podcast. I love the Taz show. Check out Human Podcast Machine. I think it's great. But I will give Jericho's podcast a catch up. Jericho, in my queue right now for wrestling podcasts is, of course, Stone Cold, JR, Jericho, Taz, Woo Nation with Ric Flair. Those are my main wrestling podcasts right now. And of course, AfterBuzz TV, Raw After Show. Gotta give my shout out to my boys and girls over there at AfterBuzz TV. Doing amazing work. They're doing the recaps. But I will have to definitely check that out for sure. I tell you what, we talk a little bit about this. Do you have any other headlines regarding any other promotions or anything else going on?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit, if I could, about the untimely passing of Tommy Rogers of the Fantastics.
Yes, please do.
Well, Tommy Rogers wrestled in the NWA territorial system, and he had a great deal of success in the UWF, which is also called Mid-South Wrestling. We've talked about it a lot. Tommy was one of the greatest workers in the history of the business, and he really got absolutely no due like he should have. The Fantastics were more or less a knockoff of the Fabulous Ones, Rock and Roll Express sort of idea. And what they used to do is when the Rock and Roll Express would leave town, the Fantastics would come in. And they were a very short tag team. I can even remember being 7 or 8 years old watching them on TV in Mid-South, which was the promotion in South Louisiana. And I remember thinking, God, these guys are so short, you know. But Tommy was just unbelievable. He was like the Ricky Morton of the tag team, a great worker. He did some great – he even did matches in ECW. I don't know if anyone is aware of that. I haven't heard anyone talking about that. But I saw him working with ECW around 2008, 2009. He would do opening matches and help put people over. I guess he knew Heyman from back in the day. You know, he really hit a lot of hard times in his life, and I'm not going to get into that, you know, because that is what it is. You know, let's remember him for the great days he had. Their feud with the Midnight Express in 1988 was one of the greatest, you know, non-WWF feuds that you'll ever see in the 80s. It was absolutely terrific, and I think they've gotten lost in history in some respect. But the one I absolutely love and remember is the stuff they did with the Sheep Herders. Now, the God, what were the Sheep Herders' names after the there was Luke and Bushwhackers?
The Bushwhackers, yes.
The Bushwhackers were the Sheep Herders, and the Sheep Herders, the Bushwhackers as the Sheep Herders was a little different. They looked exactly the same and wrestled the same, but they were more hardcore, a lot more blading, and were a really, really good heel tag team. They were genuinely hated. They had great heat in Tennessee, Louisiana, the NWA Crockett stuff. They would occasionally go around there, Florida. They went all around, and they were an incredibly awesome heel tag team. And their feud with the Fantastics in UWF Mid-South was really awesome. I know you thought that would be a good, you know, idea as match of the week. But, man, I just want to revisit my favorite Tommy Rogers memory, 8 years old, watching on TV. Okay, it was the Fantastics with Terry Taylor, later the Red Rooster, who was a really over babyface for Bill Watts' territory, Mid-South UWF, facing off against Jack Victory. You might remember him from the ECW days, too, and the Sheep Herders. And it was a barbed wire match, on TV with, you know, barbed wire spots and the whole. It wasn't as exotic as your Terry Funk, Mick Foley, you know, Japan barbed wire matches or stuff you've seen with Matsunaga or guys like Mr. Pogo or Nakamaki, Shoji Nakamaki, or any of those guys. But it was a barbed wire match on TV in the 80s. I'll never forget that. And I just wanted to say God bless him. And, you know, I know he's in a better place now. And, you know, just want to give it up for Tommy Rogers because he wasn't given his due when he was here on Earth. He really wasn't. He was really, really awesome. And people need to know that.
That's awesome. So we're going to feature that as our match of the week. Follow that link there in the show notes so you can see it for yourself. An incredible match.
Pro Wrestling Cast Mailbag.
And for the first time, we're going to talk about our listener fan mail and comments. Of course, you can do that via social media. P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com if you'd like to do that as well. And let's start with a comment. This is from Mixer549 Dale Moore, and he says, right. Okay, pick a winner. It only takes a second. Bobby Eaton and Sweet Stan Lane versus Yokozuna and Big Van Vader. What do you say about that?
A couple of things about this. When you say Big Van Vader, that makes me think of the Vader from 92. That would have been in Japan and WCW. He was a tough hombre. And the second thing I noticed is Sweet Stan Lane version of the Midnight Express. That's the second Midnight Express. I'm more of a Dennis Condrey Midnight Express fan, but, you know, the Midnight Express is the Midnight Express. I would think that they'd probably figure out a way to have a good match, first of all.
That was it's an interesting matchup because you've got two super heavyweights with two of the, you know, one of the definitive tag teams of a generation.
Well, I mean, Vader against the Midnight Express, and then, you know, Yokozuna is pretty darn good for a big guy. I think it would be a quality matchup. what would I think would happen is Yokozuna and Vader would turn on each other and there would be a screw job finish involving Cornette. I don't think anybody would actually get pinned, but the Midnights would come out on top because they usually won. But I would think, hell, the idea of Bobby Eaton working against Vader in a tag match sounds really enticing, actually. So that's my comments. Midnight Express go over in a DQ.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, once again, you've got the X factor of Cornette in the corner, and the two guys, the two super heavyweights, Yoko, Vader, they're going to try to get their groove on and put them in the power moves. But the situation is that you've got some of the fastest, you know, working guys and Jim Cornette there running interference. So, yeah, I totally see a screw job in there. You know, if you're looking at, you know, obviously pound per pound, you know, there's no doubt that Yoko and Van Vader would be the odds on favorite just from a sheer power perspective, but you cannot discount the speed, the quickness, and the X factor that is Jim Cornette of the Midnight Express. So I will give my edge to Eaton and Lane in that regard.
Hey, the Midnight Express always goes over in my book.
You're right. And once again, you know, but it won't be clean. It won't be clean.
Never clean.
There you go. So there's your comment there, Mixer 549. Thank you for sending your comments our way. How about this comment? Justin Donahue comments on one of our shows regarding NXT and TNA, and he says, I fully agree with both of you guys about TNA. I've been watching the product since 2002 when it first started. What helped build that company was the X Division and chain wrestling, and they tried breaking away from that with using old WWE guys that get released, aka Christian, Booker T, Steiner, Hogan, and others. This was when their momentum and ratings started dropping fast, then pushing UFC guys down the fan base didn't help, and signing guys like King Mo was pointless and a waste of money. They need to focus around guys like Styles, Daniels, Joe, Low-Key, Kazarian, and the X Division to help the company. Angle versus Aries. Tip to help the company. Angle versus Aries.
Well,
go ahead. Comment.
I completely agree with him. They hired a bunch of guys, you know, Kazarian, Daniels, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Low-Key. You know, the problem is, I don't know about Low-Key, but definitely with the other ones, those guys aren't going to come back. I think they felt the same thing this gentleman was feeling. It's like these guys are putting the company over with something their own, you know, made their own. You know, the X Division in TNA, it was very different from anything going on at the time. They had outstanding matches, and I think it really kept them going. And at the end of the day, they didn't treat any of those guys as like they should. They didn't push any of them. They did at times, but in other times they pushed them horrible. So I don't think those guys would come back. If you watch Frankie Kazarian do his shoot interview, I think he does with Chris Daniels, or maybe they split it up. He has some very negative things to say about the way TNA runs their business. And the way, and you know, AJ Styles, they wanted to put him in the TNA Hall of Fame recently and do like a fun match. He's like, no, I'm in Japan. Maybe Ring of Honor here and there. I'm not coming back there doing that. So, you know, that's what they've really done wrong is they didn't even make it. So that's a big possibility as much as it used to be.
It's true.
But I agree completely.
Yeah. It's a shame. You know, it's consistency. It's great booking. It's booking that makes sense, which TNA hasn't been known to do in any fashion whatsoever in the course of their company's history. And, it's a painful lesson to learn, Dixie, but and one you would think would learn from your mistakes, but it hasn't proven they've done that yet. We've got another comment from Dale Moore, and this is regarding our CM Punk, a CM Punk special that we had. The punt kick and foot stomp are the type of extreme finishers that should be reserved for untalented fucks who aren't capable of much. Made sense for Orton, but Rollins is too good for his matches to end with a stomp. We talked about this, I think, briefly during one of our shows in regards to the curb stomp being eliminated or at least being dropped quietly and having Rollins go to the pedigree. And
DDT, I think, right?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple things that Taz had made mention. Once again, a plug for Taz for his webcast, his podcast, was the fact that the curb stomp is a blind move, and that it's really difficult to pull off in terms of timing and the fact that you can't see it. So it's a different kind of move. And I'd also think that WWE corporate probably doesn't want their champion to be known for doing Correct. Such a street type of move. And not a hold, not an actual, you know, a hold or something like right. that requires wrestling prowess. The curb stomp is a very much a thug-like move, which maybe made sense to a degree when he was, you know, in the Shield and doing something. But I think the talent is definitely worth a better finishing maneuver than a curb stomp. And I also agree, the punt kick, any move to the head like that where it's blind or anything like that, I don't think there's really room for that in wrestling. I think that's just, you know, any type of head contact like that or fake or whatnot just lends itself open to a lot of criticism that the WWE probably does not want. So
probably so. I always envision, I think he's like he's getting it. It's like it's such a silly move to do. I would envision Rollins doing a spectacular finisher, something very, you know, dramatic and sort of difficult to do and probably really stiff. So I always saw him maybe doing something like Neville's finisher or something more like that. Not that that, you know, I don't know. I see what he's saying, though. It's like, why such a simplistic move? But you're totally right. The PG era, they let the curb stomp thing slip by, and they probably just got to the point where they're like, hey, we're not. And it's just as simple as saying it to somebody and them noticing, like, a curb stomp? Geez, that's his finisher? You know, when you're doing business with NBC Universal, you don't want anything to piss anyone off, and you don't want the kids to get the wrong idea. So I know what you're saying.
Definitely. Well, thank you for the comments. Once again, be sure to leave them on our YouTube and iTunes. We'll be sure to read them on an upcoming show. In the meantime, enjoy our promo of the week. Be sure to check our link below for the match of the week. And in the meantime, for Stephen Anthony, I'm Al John. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for subscribing to our show. And we'll see you next week. And is there anything else you wanted to say that we have forgotten to say this episode, Stephen?
Dr. Death for life. I don't know. Dr. Death.
You're not going to do a Steve Bockwinkel shout out?
I'll do a Steve Bockwinkel shout out.
Did I say Steve Bockwinkel? I meant Nick. Jesus, I was like, talking about Steve Williams, and I'm like, Steve Bockwinkel? Who the hell is Steve Bockwinkel?
Hey, what if instead of Nick Bockwinkel, it was me as like Steve Bockwinkel?
Dr. Death Steve Bockwinkel.
Dr. Death Steve Bockwinkel.
I was going to say, I meant to say Nick Bockwinkel, but of course I was still thinking about you and Dr. Death, so.
Obdurate recalcitrant.
You can't even say it either.
There's a promo where he says, obdurate recalcitrant. And I just thought that was awesome.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know. You'll have to watch it. I'm doing recalcitrance. Go ahead and Google search that, everybody. It's easy to spell.
Do that. Don't forget to tuck your head. Obdurate, whatever.
Recalcitrance.
Yeah, whatever. It sounds like a Harry Potter spell. And right now we're going to go ahead and leave you with the promo of the week, which would have been Owen Cena, but it was usurped by the Rattlesnake himself, Mr. Broken Skull Ranch himself, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Paul Heyman. And the final minutes of the Stone Cold podcast on WWE Network. So please check that out. Okay, we'll see you next week. Don't forget to tuck your head. See ya.
See ya.
Promo of the week.
Next question. Would you like to fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32?
Ass. If I was going to fight Brock Lesnar, I'd beat his ass. And you know that as well as I do, Paul. You sit there with that little grin on your face. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to, but I think you know how this is going to go down.
Well, I mean, shouldn't it, though? The toughest SOB in WWE history versus the baddest dude on the planet. And I don't know if you've heard this, but WrestleMania 32 is in your home state of Texas. Now, where better than to have the Rattlesnake against the Beast, but in Texas with 100,000 people?
You know, obviously, that'd be a great place to settle a score. And, you know, here's the thing, you know, I'd have to think about it. You know, but I think the person who'd really have to think about it would be Brock Lesnar. Because I don't think that he'd want to take all the momentum, all the good stuff that you guys have done, and then to roll into 105,000 people to Texas Stadium, AT&T, Cowboy Stadium, whatever you call it,
and
get his ass smoked.
Why don't we call him?
Call him.
I'm going to
call him. I got his phone number, too. I'll call him.
You know, and of course, I had to have my phone. And look, just so you guys could see, my phone was off because, you know, people
would call
me. All
you got to do is turn the damn silencer off. Well, Paul, I would open up a can of whoop ass on Brock Lesnar's ass. You know it just as well as you're sitting right in front of me. It's been great talking to you.
Can we make it happen?
We could discuss it.
I think we should. We should negotiate this. Should we go talk to Vince about it?
I would have three words for you. Not two words for you.
Oh, here
you.
We go.
There we go.
It's probably
okay,
a text
when someone's
from Brock.
Phone goes off of the podcast, that means you owe the whole crew here a beer.
I don't drink.
Okay, you got to buy me a beer. You got three words for it. I'll give you those three words. And I'm not saying the match is going to happen, but the only way that match could ever happen, if all the stars in the universe lined up, and to build that match, to go to Dallas, Texas, my old stomping grounds. Hell, I went to college 30 miles from there. I drove down to the Sportatorium to watch the Bionics fight the Freebirds at the Sportatorium. Pro wrestling.
Oh, here we go.
Is that him? No, it ain't.
No.
Pro wrestling, damn it.
Fire all the writers. And it's from a writer.
I'm talking about the...
I'm not kidding either.
I'm talking about the biggest damn match you just brought up. And you're talking about firing writers. I'm talking about a Texas death match.
Okay.
You want a headline for WrestleMania? That would be the match. Do I want to go out there and get into a scientific scuffle with another human being built like Brock Lesnar? You might as well put bolts on the side of his neck because the guy's like Frankenstein walking down the street. I have tremendous respect for his ability in the ring, the level that he's advanced to, and just his freaky accomplishments in life in general, UFC, WWE. But make no mistake about it, Paul. If he was to stand across a squared circle from Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're getting a nice guy right here. Because it's funny doing a Stone Cold podcast. You know, this is basically a Steve Austin show. I actually have a sense of humor. I laugh about things. But if you're going to start poking Stone Cold, well, then you're poking the wrong sumbitch. And I don't give a rat's ass if it's Paul Heyman, if it's Brock Lesnar. If you start messing with Stone Cold, you're not going to like what you get back. And that's about as easy as I can put it because I'm getting a little ramped up right now just looking at you sorry ass.
I'm just an advocate. That's all. I'm
well, you're advocating.
I'm advocating.
You're about to advocate an ass whooping, and your man ain't here to prevent that ass whooping from happening.
Who's your next guest, by the way?
I don't give a damn. I'm sitting here talking to you.
And I'm looking forward to your next podcast.
It's been a damn good time having you. Now, I'm gonna give you an option. There ain't no windows or stairs for me to throw your ass through.
I could leave.
That'd probably be the best damn thing you could do.
Well, thank you for having me.
I've enjoyed talking to you.
Up until about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to, before you leave, Paul, it was good talking to you. I appreciate everything you did for my career. I'm about ready to drink a cold beer and kind of chill out and think about this.
Okay.
And that's the bottom line because I said so.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.